Welcome in. No punts allowed. Oh, God. That beer tastes good.
What beer are you drinking? Remember, we're doing reveals at the top now.
Oh, that's right. I'm doing a little something, something. That's the name of the beer.
Lagunitas.
It's like the old faithful here. Good beer.
Before we get into our promo of our good friends Municipal and the fact that we match today in our Municipal camo gear.
Unplanned.
Unplanned. I have never gotten more comments on in-person comments, I should say, from family members and friends about our Modelo conversation last week. So many people were like, that was so funny.
Feedback too.
Sometimes it's just not even the football stuff that you guys care about. And I appreciate that the people who do just listen to hear us talk about random things and also not in like a clear and concise way, just in our own ramble. No. I appreciate you guys. And we will continue to talk about random shit at the end of the show. But we do need to start with Municipal, our good friends. Shopmunicipal.com. We're both wearing Municipal camo gear today. Can't see us like we're John Cena.
Wow.
Yes. I know, right? What a promo.
Municipal. We were wearing it last night on our playoff rankings reveal show, which felt good. I gotta reach out though, because I'm digging some of these new polos. I've been seeing a lot of new ads.
I want the cardinal colors.
Yeah, we gotta get involved.
Speaking of, we did do a college football playoff show last night, and literally, we've done a lot of live shows. I've never experienced. I knew we were prepared, okay, but I don't think anyone was legitimately prepared for the 12-team playoff and how this kind of breakdown matters. Because you literally said after the show, you're like, it's hard to decide. Like, does the bracket matter more, or do the actual rankings matter more?
So, we have done this show for years, and with the four teams, it was very simple. You go from 25, you work your way up. Then they would fucking sprinkle with it different weeks, depending on if number one team was the easy one. They would, here you go, here's Alabama, here's Georgia, here's Clemson, whoever it was. And then there'd be drama over four, there'd be drama whoever. As the rankings start, right, 25, 24, you and I get to see the stream of ESPN as we're talking.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I have to say, like, our feed that we're looking at for Bleacher Report, the teams were tidy. And I can't see very well, so I'm like, oh, is that Kansas? No, it's Ole Miss. Wait, who is that? So the moment we got into striking distance, though, of 12 range and first teams out, my system could not comprehend it. And I was really, really struggling. And I'm glad you were as well, because I was completely out of sorts there.
No, and I think even, like, as I was watching the ESPN breakdown of it, like, I think they were even struggling to kind of break it down and decide what was the most important thing to talk about. Because it is, in my opinion, I guess the rankings are more important than the bracket currently. Like,
Teams
are ranked, 100%. That is way more important. And though I think looking at the bracket is just the triggering and alarming part of it. Because you're seeing BYU as the number four team in the country and Ohio State is the number five team in the country. And that is not at all the case. But correct. I think it's important to look at the bracket to be able to determine what sort of movement in the rankings would do that. But it's a new thing for us. It's very, very new. Especially because, like, in college basketball, we get a bracket, but we don't get rankings. This was like, okay, here you get both. And I told you, for transparency purposes, it's great that we get those rankings because we know where everybody is falling and where the committee is valuing, you know, all of these teams. But it was a shock to the system. And I think next week will be a lot easier to focus on what, you know, matters and obviously changes, because there will be changes and we know that. And I was surprised too, because there are so many fan bases that are still involved. Like, this time of year, we normally know there's like six teams and we know that those teams are going to make up the four. Right now we're looking at a bunch of teams that could make up this 12. So, I think it is still a shock to the system for everyone, and I'm not sure everyone's used to it yet, including ourselves, but we will get there. But in terms of rankings, where do you want to start?
I actually want to start on something that has pissed me off more since we did our show. And that is the way that Miami is being ranked versus fucking BYU.
Okay.
And,
fair.
I'm going to use BYU. I'll just exclude Indiana. BYU, by most every metric, is a better resume than Miami right now. I would argue that BYU, with a win over SMU, laps Miami's best win. At Baylor, Kansas State, UCF, Arizona. Okay, again, I get these teams are not great. But week in, week out resume, this is worlds better, right? And I fucking hate that we're doing the thing again immediately where the logo on the head matters more. And
yeah.
The quarterback matters more.
So,
I'm frankly appalled that Miami is four.
This
system is not supposed to do that. And
looked it up last night, and I looked it up again just now. BYU's strength of schedule, according to ESPN's index, is 63 overall, and Miami is 46. So realistically speaking...
I don't believe that, by the way. My eyes tell me that's bullshit. I know that I'm saying metrics-wise, but...
I think, one, BYU has a win over SMU, which looks really good.
It is great right
They absolutely obliterated Kansas State.
Yes.
Yes, the close one with Baylor kind of looks bad. Obliterated Arizona. Close one again with Oklahoma State. So I can see where these things...
Oh, no. BYU ate Picasso. To be clear, you'll see where
Miami,
in about 25 minutes.
Yeah. Miami, again, in the chat, what's so crazy about the chat, though, is like it was literally everyone being like, Miami is so much Miami hate and blah, 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 and all this stuff. They're going to show you. They're going to win out, blah, blah. I have no doubt that Miami is going to win out and make the playoff.
I hope they do.
If they lose to SMU in the ACC championship game, they still get in the playoff.
Yeah.
They're going to get their ass kicked if they play the way that they've played against some of these teams.
Miami's
You want to let a Georgia team hang around? You want to, even with their terrible offense, look what they did to Alabama. They came back on Alabama.
Miami has the number one scoring offense in the country, which is great. That scoring offense is partly great because their defense is outside the top 50, which is actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I said Miami is worse by every metric, and they're kind of proving me wrong.
Yeah.
Still, what is undeniably wrong, though,
like, let's just look at the teams.
Yes. Well, I don't like that we do this. And now... Like, is it because we're not bold enough to rank BYU number four? Like, we don't have the courage committee?
No, we don't have the courage to do it at all.
Is that why?
Yep.
Because why is BYU behind Tennessee? Why is BYU behind Penn State? Penn State's best win? I'm sorry. They won at West Virginia, who sucks. They beat Illinois when they were ranked. They're not ranked anymore. They're actually not very good. They beat a bad USC team. They beat a really bad Wisconsin team. What's the best win here? Is it Illinois? I haven't gotten to the James Franklin part of this pod.
That's the other part of this. It's like Penn State got love from the committee. Like, that was wild to me that they actually were favored. Like, the Big Ten, I feel like that was a favorable thing. And then James Franklin was making comments about it today. I'm like, buddy, you're lucky to be where you are. Same thing with Tennessee fans. Why? Why are you? What? It's like, I don't know. The whole thing, it bothers me so much that people also, there's like this thing going around like, oh, the committee's disrespecting the SEC. The SEC has been hot garbage this year. Look, I'm not saying there's not good teams, but what are you talking about?
I think the SEC is well-repped.
Like, they are. That's the thing. That's why it's so mind-boggling to me.
Like, well, who the fuck are we going to argue about? Like,
also, the fact that the chat had a problem with Oregon being ranked number one.
Well, that's just stupidity.
Straight up stupidity. SEC fans arguing this. Like, what are we doing? Come on, you guys.
Oregon has beaten... It's like Penn State's resume at steroids. Boise State, great win. Yeah, granted, it was weird for a while, right? We were critical of Oregon about kind of playing with their food.
They were playing with their food early in the season. Then they figured it out, and now they're obliterating teams. That's how it goes. That's one of the things that committee has always relied on, is saying, oh, you've seen that they've progressively gotten better throughout the year.
They'll figure it out. The other thing to me that, again, Boise State is kind of an exception right now because they have they played tough with Oregon. They've got maybe the best player in college football. But seeing where Army is ranked, I'm like, oh boy, here we go again. And there will be rankings. Maybe not this year. Boise State should win the rest of its regular season games. I don't know about Army. We'll see. They played Notre Dame. They have a tougher one this week. But Group of Five, as we're trying to put in like a playoff team, and we have Group of Five teams ranked outside the top 25. Like, this is where it's a mess for me. I don't think this is a bad format, but it's kind of clumsy to describe. Like, the games themselves, once you get into the actual bracket, I think it will be fine.
Yeah.
But boy, getting used to this is going to take some doing. You said it. The bracket really doesn't mean shit right now. It's very easy to sell. It's, oh my God.
No, it's exciting, though, in terms of looking at those games. Oh no, God. It's super exciting to sell because, again, you get even Indiana and Tennessee to me, like, that could be a fun football game. But if we really want Big Ten versus SEC, like, this is really fun. Notre Dame, put up or shut up, not being in a power conference. Like, there's just so much of this that is going to be great for college football. And that's why, looking at a bracket, though, like, think about all the people who didn't want this to happen. Like, how fun is this going to be? We're going to have no idea. I mean, the Texas A&M, Texas game towards the end of the year, conference championship weekend, those games are going to have such a big impact on this bracket and who gets in. I mean, that's what we wanted. We wanted to care. We wanted to care about more games. And I think this is doing it.
Think about this week. Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU, right, as your headliners, okay? And I think it gets a lot weirder from there. Those are, I don't want to say Georgia, Ole Miss is a playoff game, but it is a elimination game for one. And for Georgia, who the hell knows, right, what it could potentially mean. I love that. And then you start to connect the dots. Oh my God, next week's pretty bad though. Have you looked at the schedule for next week?
No.
I think I'm actually off next week. Clemson, Pitt. That might be your best game. Oregon, Wisconsin. It's bad. We won't worry about that. There'll be other great games coming. This week is full of them. It's not diminishing the regular season. To me, it makes it far more compelling. And oh, by the way, we say, oh my God, this is, and I think this has been a really exciting season of college football already, largely because it's been kind of a nobody's good philosophy for a good chunk of it.
Yes.
It's also because opportunities exist now for the Iowa States and the BYUs and the Indianas and the Boise States that didn't before. Mm-hmm. So the little engine that could actually can, and they have an opportunity to, and that's fun. So Indiana can win this week. They're a fucking 2-touchdown favorite against Michigan. And they can get clobbered by Ohio State next week, which may or may not happen. And they can win out, and they're in the playoff.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much debate to it. There really shouldn't be. How crazy is that? Playoffs allowing it, and this shit's happening in real time with teams that we're not accustomed to seeing. I love that about this format. I really do.
Yeah. One other thing I will say is that we made a point to mention that, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be a Power Four team that could get those auto bids.
Yes.
It's been made very clear by the committee that they will not be ranking anyone that's not in a Power Four above that. I think Alabama being above Boise State is kind of the most ridiculous part of it all in terms of bracket.
It's going to take a lot. I mean, it's going to take a lot, especially if you're a Group of Five team that plays a legitimate opponent like Boise State did. You get that one blemish. Like, look at Army, which is competing for this spot, right? Like, Army, if Army loses, they're out of the rankings. And if they win, they'll hold serve until somebody takes it from them, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the shitty, you know, again, Army 25 in the college football playoff rankings, 18 in the AP poll.
Yeah.
Yikes. Right, I'm a little surprised Vandy wasn't ranked in the college football playoff rankings too.
There was a lot of conversation about South Carolina as well.
South Carolina not ranked in the AP poll, but like really close, like second in line. I would have to imagine, just looking at the other teams, eight people, you have Tulane, you had Missouri. I'd have to imagine that South Carolina and South Carolina's right there. Like, South Carolina and Vandy have a chance, and I think Vandy, both have really interesting games. Vandy plays South Carolina, so one of those teams is going to be ranked, right?
Yeah.
That's this week, yeah.
The other thing that we sort of started talking about before we were recording was conference championships and the, like, tiebreakers. Like,
yes.
One, college football playoff, or I guess conference realignment and expansion there has made this way more of a tougher equation for the college football playoff committee. Because now you're not getting those head-to-heads where you can see it. Like, you're less likely to have those head-to-heads with some of the best teams in some of the larger conferences like the SEC and the Big Ten. And even the Big 12. Like, I cannot wait for the chaos that is those deciders. Because also that could mean a certain team could get in and win that game in there. They get the bye. Like, it's wild to me.
So it's interesting. It's a double-edged sword. It could mean a team gets in and gets the bye. It could mean a team gets in, loses, and gets left out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it goes up and down.
Imagine, like, Colorado playing in the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah, for a bye. I mean, that's awesome.
That's insanity that you could go and have the season they had and then just boop.
Yeah.
Because it is championship games, correct?
Yes.
It's not regular season championships.
No.
Which
I do like. I do like. I think it's a little clumsy because you could get a team like...
That's in there, yeah.
Iowa from the Big Ten from years ago when they had the divisions could get in there and win. And I mean, Jesus, Iowa's not terribly far out of it yet still. I mean, they're probably not going to get into the... Like, that's the good and the bad of doing it this way.
Yeah.
The average championship games have sucked in the playoff era. There have been some good ones. Last year was the exception. We had Oregon, Washington. We had USC, the year before. Like, you've had some moments, but, like...
Well, I guess. So, say a team like Colorado wins, because it is the four highest-ranking conference champions. So, if they're looking at them in a top 25 situation and they rank them lower, I think that would be a scenario where maybe the group of five could push for a bye, like a Boise State.
Maybe. Boise State's going to play like a UNLV, and Colorado's going to play probably a top 12 team. I mean,
but still, they would have more losses into, you know what I mean? Like, that's the nature of this. It's so crazy.
So this
for example,
is where,
the Sugar Bowl,
like, Ohio State not getting a bye and Colorado getting a bye. Is that good for college football? I don't know. I like the regional stuff. But as you look at the Big Ten and the SEC, like, this format's not long for this world, by the way. I'm just saying. Like, like we know that. This is going to expand again soon. But when the Big Ten and the SEC are like, hey, we want guaranteed this number of spots, this is why, right? That's why.
Yeah.
Because Colorado getting a bye, Ohio State not, despite having this play. And I'm just using Ohio State. You could use whomever you want. Penn State, Texas, whatever, right? But Ohio State will use it because they're number two and they're out of the top four in terms of the bracket. It's a little wonky. One could argue clumsy. Then again, win your fucking conference. So I will play both sides of this. I'm very intrigued how it shapes up. The good news then, we get to see Ohio State play at home. And that's a huge advantage in itself. So the bye, it's not as big of a deal. If Ohio State has to play a Boise State, no offense, Boise State, Ohio State's going to win that game by 2 or 3 touchdowns, right? Boise State's a good team. That I don't think it's going to go well. Now you hear how excited I am about Ohio State again, which I want to talk
about.
Yeah,
we should talk about that.
Let's talk about it. We're back.
Any last
no,
college football? Because we've talked about it, obviously, very long-winded yesterday. I will encourage everyone to please watch on Tuesday nights because it is actually pretty fun and comment. And maybe be the educated commenter that's not saying Oregon shouldn't be the number one in this country, or that Miami, is just gonna beat everybody. You guys will see the Miami fans. I was like, relax, dude.
I was
relax.
Gonna say,
take
we
a walk,
will find
grass.
We will find our own pacing for next week because it was different. Like, I struggled. So as such, it felt like we were a little bit all over the place because it was just a completely new way to reassess college football.
Yeah, and we were trying to get some sort of rhythm. And what's funny is you and I are so critical of ourselves, but, like, again, it was a great show. But it's just funny because we are so like, okay, we should do this to, like, be able to talk more about this stuff, and this is what really matters. And, you know, that goes to show you that we genuinely care. And as much as we are, you know, seem a little bit unorganized and not prepped, we are very particular about some of the things that we do, and that show being one of them that we really are proud of. And the show, too. And also our bet at the beginning of the season, which would be that Ohio State could still win a national championship, which, we're back.
I'm back. Yeah. Ohio State now is the favorite to win from the national championship. Again, let's look at the odds. I was going to do this anyways. Ohio State plus 330, Georgia plus 425, Oregon plus 425. It's a little surprising, if I'm being quite honest, especially after Georgia loses this weekend. Texas plus 500, Miami 12-1, Tennessee 15-1, Alabama 16-1, Penn State at 20-1. I don't think that's terrible value for Penn State, by the way. I'm just saying. I don't love – maybe James Franklin in the postseason is going to be some fucking super mutant. Regular season Jake Franklin, no, but postseason, yes. Clemson 45-1, SMU 65-1.
Shout out Clemson for Clemson.
Boise State.
Leave it to us to support Dabo, and then he just decide to do that to us.
I'm fucking done with
that. I was saying all the nice things about Clemson on our AP poll show and saying they weren't, because to be fair, they were not being respected.
No.
But again, it backfired. So thanks, Dabo, for that. Sick.
Once again, Dabo fucking Sweeney. Yeah, so, but Ohio State, like, a couple of things real quick, and we can start talking about the other stories in this week's games. The offensive line is going to be a patchwork situation. They moved some guys around, played really well against a Penn State front. That stuck out to me. Ohio State's running backs, who were held in check against Nebraska, were really good. And I would just be getting these guys in space and throwing them the ball on demand. And then, oh, by the way, when you do that, I would hope that Will Howard is not going to fucking, like, there's like two plays a game that he really screws up. He's good, but there's like two plays a game, an interception or overthrow or all this stuff, man. Like, they got it. That's a problem. Like, that has been a problem. They got to get that right. Cause when he's right, he's great. He's an exceptional college quarterback, but I don't know, Paige. And the defense is still really good. So that was a great game for them. Tough environment, not dominant, but ugly. And watching fucking Ryan Day smile at the end was weird. The dude had real joy. I actually appreciate that. He needed that one probably worse than James Franklin did.
He did. I told you, if he lost that game, his job is on the line. Like, that was, they needed that game really badly. I will say, I think I mentioned this on the college football playoff show. Likely the Big Ten championship game going to be Oregon and Ohio State again. And I think I alluded to this, and Oregon fans know this well. The age-old adage is it's really hard to beat a team twice. But, I mean, Washington did it to Oregon, so you never know. You never know. Oregon could be on the other side of that.
Sure, they love that.
You know, I'm just trying to keep perspective for them. Remember where you came from. You know, started from the bottom right here. And so don't get too ahead of yourselves thinking that because you beat them once that on a, quote, neutral site, you'd be able to beat them, because it certainly would favor
on a neutral site. Ohio State's probably going to be
a neutral site.
Three and a half point favorite. I mean,
it just
like that. The bracket. Like, this is why it's funny projecting this bracket. You're going to have teams that come in as the lower seed in championship games that are favored, like, a lot, because shit happens. Like, in a football season. So think of, like, the SEC championship, what it would be. Like, the bracket's going to be a hot mess. Hot mess, other than those four teams.
We could talk about this kind of in transition to looking at this week's games, because I think there are two SEC games that obviously really matter. In terms of the SEC, where are you at in terms of who you think is going to be the champion of the SEC?
That's a great question. Actually, it's funny. Before yesterday's show, I wasn't sure. We weren't sure if we had to do predictions like give the bracket predictions.
And for the final ones.
For the final ones. I thought, A, it was kind of a fun exercise to do. And I have to go back and see how I did for this one. And then I went through and did the final. And I still think it will be Texas.
Texas, me too. Okay, I didn't want to bring it up first, but I literally wrote down yesterday, I was like, Texas is still going to win the SEC.
I don't feel great about it.
I don't feel great about it either, but I know they're going to. Like, I think, one, the rest of their schedule is a lot easier than, you know, Georgia. We both kind of think Georgia's going to lose this week to Ole Miss. Alabama, LSU,
Tennessee's in the conversation, too. I mean,
yeah.
But I still...
Tennessee's schedule, though, is still a little bit... Let's look.
Tennessee is maybe...
Tennessee plays Vandy at the end of the year.
Which is
not to
tough...
say that, like, but again, it's at Vandy. That's that. Yeah. I mean, in state. I mean,
and,
come on,
and at Georgia. I mean, they'll be
yes. I was saying just sizable... other than Georgia. Yeah.
So, one of those two teams is probably in a good spot.
Because Texas has to play Texas A&M, really,
at Texas A&M too. So a lot of this boils down to like really interesting road games. Georgia's is this week. Texas is at the end of the year. Texas A&M, I guess we have to consider as well. Like I know they just
lost the
game.
You know what's
going to
be the marker for me? Texas plays Florida this week. Let's see who can beat Florida, who needs overtime to beat Florida, who plays them close, or who obliterates them. And Texas, please obliterate them.
Yeah, it's a big spread. It's a big number.
It should be.
What is Texas A&M's remaining schedule? So they play... New Mexico, they play at Auburn, and I'm telling you, just don't. I know, I'm so fucking sick of Hugh Freeze. I didn't know when to say this. I had a great gambling weekend last week, and I have not said that much this year. I'm like 500 in my locks on Bleacher Report, and it feels like I'm far worse than that because
it's been a weird year.
It's been a weird year. I've had a couple of like blazing weeks, and finally last week I had one of those. I need it, but it's not been a great week. Auburn, in a week where nothing could go wrong, Auburn was laying a touchdown against Vandy, and like I watched 7 minutes. I'm like, this terrible bet.
Yeah.
Like, Vegas, what are you doing? I'm so tired of Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
So tired of him.
But
Have you watched a full Auburn game this year? Like, don't.
No, God, no. Oh. No. I turn it off very quickly. I will say, I do think Texas looks like the better team than Texas A&M.
Yeah,
as of right now.
More complete.
I genuinely believe Texas will still win. Which is so funny because then it's like, who else gets in? But we should talk about the games that are this week.
I want to do a quick... We actually have some little morsels of news this week that I think are interesting.
Oh, yes.
Miller Moss getting benched by USC for, how do you pronounce his last name? Jane Maeva, the UNLV kid?
I mean, good. Yeah.
I mean, we are with names, so I'm
sure that's not right.
Yeah,
I was just going to say.
I will take a leap because normally you do in our live videos.
Thank you so much for recognizing that I put my neck out there for us every time to get just absolutely obliterated in the comments. Thank you so much for recognizing that, Adam.
This forum where it's part of our charm, where I can be an idiot, I'm like, sure, why not? But I find this pretty interesting. Modelo. So Moss has not played bad, but he's made some really huge mistakes.
It's also part of our charm that you're trying to be so serious about football right now that I'm just interjecting with jokes. I'm sorry. Miller Modelo. Moss. Carry on. Modelo.
How do you say it again, though?
Modelo.
Just doesn't seem natural.
Okay.
Modelo.
Well, that's going to be our, like, please continue is going to be Modelo.
Oh, I like that. It's like the wrap it up. So I am very, he's thrown 9 interceptions, has Miller Moss. This kid for UNLV last year was really good. I'm very interested to see. This situation to me is fascinating. Miami is also just a sophomore. So I have to imagine Riley is looking ahead to who's my quarterback for next year.
Right. And let's get some reps.
Because this kid, it was an interesting decision for him to go to USC. I'm very curious what happens here. I found it a little bit surprising.
I will say this. We've been very critical of Lincoln Riley this year. We've sounded the alarms a little bit. I have full faith that next year they turn it around and they're a top 10 team.
I want him actually to do that because I think next year...
I think
year's,
he will.
He will get another year, but if it does not go well, yeah. I think that's probably it. Now, we don't know his
contract.
Well, some
of their boosters, and I mean, not to name names, Matt Leinart, was tweeting about like how bad it is and that like there needs to be some accountability. And I'm like, let him have a moment. Let him... This is Lincoln Riley. It's not like
you know
a Brent Brennan
use?
Situation, okay? This is Lincoln Riley. Let's...
You know who would help them? Steve Sarkisian. College football's weird. Mike,
and that is the circle of life in college football.
Mike Gundy is apologizing. I believe...
Shocking.
This is at least apology number two. And I'm sure Mike Gundy, by the way, is pretty happy with the election results. Just saying. So he doesn't care. He could throw in an apology. But he basically was critical of the fans, saying like that they're too negative. So right. What I like about this, to tie in the election, it is election night, okay? The world is celebrating or breaking and all these different things.
Yeah.
And at 9:28 p.m. on election night, Mike Gundy tweets this apology, okay? I apologize to those
a news dump.
Who my comments don't... During Monday's media call offended, my intent was not to offend any of our fans who have supported us in this program through the years. I kind of wonder if this is it for Mike Gundy. They have lost 6 games in a row. They are an 11-point dog to TCU this week. They play Texas Tech at home and then at Colorado. He's had an odd tenure there. It's kind of like Ferentz with Iowa, that like when he needs a big season, he goes out and wins 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it's not trending well, and I picked this team to win the conference. It was a terrible pick. I can own that. It has fallen apart very fast. Is Mike Gundy back next year? Where are you on the Gundy train?
No, and it also might just be because he's done with this college football thing. Like the fact that he had to apologize, which by the way is a fake apology. The "I'm sorry I offended you." Like if you were offended, you know what I mean? Like, not like, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way and I should have supported our fans and whatever." And we know he's been sensitive to criticisms. I think they're at a point where he might just call it to be like, hey, the new age, kind of like a Saban situation, not comparing the two at all in terms of football and personality, but in just in the sense that like they saw the writing on the wall and they're kind of like, you know what? This ain't for me. I'm done.
I think this could be it. They play TCU, an 11-point dog. This is not in my official locks, but I'm going to tell you right now on Bleach Report, I am taking TCU. I hate telling you a football team has quit. I think this coach has quit. I think this team has quit. I don't actually blame them for doing this. Like,
and quitters quit.
Quitters quit. I get it. This has been a fucking disaster. You've lost for 2 months straight. Your wins this year are South Dakota State, Arkansas, and Tulsa. I picked this team to win the conference. They have not won a conference game. That's not good. I've done some okay picks so far. That is not one of them. Last thing. Dana Holgorsen.
Man.
Back. With Nebraska. Who is also a mess again, by the way. Water is wet. Nebraska is a mess.
A roller coaster.
Neighbor Jason was going through it this weekend, right? We had a moment. Talking about Nebraska, they've lost 3 games. They've scored 20 points, 17 points, and 7 points in those games. Granted, it was 2 of them were at Indiana and at Ohio State. But losing to UCLA at home is bad. So who is there to save the day? Dana motherfucking Holgorsen. Bringing his
Why
Red
not?
Bull and his offensive talent. And actually, I love Dana Holgorsen. So the more Dana in college football, the better. Will this save Nebraska season? Next, they play at USC, then Wisconsin, then at Iowa. Eesh. It's not great. I mean, you should beat Wisconsin. Should beat USC. You could beat Iowa. I mean, Iowa's, you know. No, just straight up no.
You know how I feel.
Fuck, man.
I said Dan to you the other day it was nice that they were scoring points. Congratulations to them.
Where do you think Dylan Raiola is playing quarterback next year?
Yeah, right, when he hits the portal.
And why won't it be Ole Miss?
No. I don't know. I think the offseason, especially because it's going to come at such a different time now, because Georgia. There's going to be, right?
It'll be Georgia.
Should be Michigan. Like,
well, they're gonna have some, you know, some Presidente cash. All right, let's
for cereal.
Speaking about cash, because last week, oh, that's fine. You can mute. Who does that?
Who does that? Wait, can we also hold on before we get into locks? Hold on,
no.
I need to. This it wouldn't be a podcast without me roasting you a little bit. I want to say one, I'm proud of you because there, and I genuinely mean this. You have been feeling not great, and you called me the morning of the show yesterday, and we're like, buddy, I don't feel good, and we have to do the show, and I'm like coughing randomly. I just don't feel good. And the other part of this is that we did the live show in person last year and you had the same issue. And I remember you were like, but what if I have to cough? And they're like, just try not to. Just don't.
Just
and,
don't.
And yeah. And this time you at least were able to mute. I saw you hydrating. But the real MVP is that behind the curtain, Adam was taking cough medicine. Like, they're giving us a minute countdown in our ears of like, hey, we're going live. And he's like, by the way, I'm taking a little bit of a cough medicine really quick, so hopefully I don't cough, but I'll mute if I cough. And I'm like, all right, let's have a good show, okay? Like,
so,
the
so,
best. It's just so funny.
So I was drinking cough medicine out of the bottle.
Yes.
But the last one I did was out of the little medicine thing. And I was worried it was going to look like I'm doing a shot. Before, like, the producer would be like, what the fuck is he doing?
So you were trying to say. By the way, so I couldn't see you, and I don't know if they can see you. I don't know. They can hear our conversations for sure.
I think they could see.
I do want to say I wish that we could get the recordings of us, like, talking during those times. Because it's so funny. It's the most random shit you could possibly imagine. Last night, Kramer was talking about Maction bets before we were talking about a top 25.
Which I lost, by the way.
And he's like, guys, where should we lay this money? Where should we lay these bets? And the production's like, what is wrong with these two?
This guy's insane.
The conversations we talk about are so ridiculous, you guys. And I was watching Up and Adams on I have YouTube TV, and like they do basically it's like a TV break where they're just like talking still, like her and whoever else she's like talking to or hosting with at that point. And it's such good content because it's the same. It gave me like, okay. Maybe we are serious. We're the same because they were talking about the most random stuff and it was like Halloween the night before and they were talking about Halloween stuff and then like it comes back and they're back to football. And I was like, that is just such, it just felt so familiar and safe.
It's home. Yes. It's home. Yeah. Our pre-show yesterday was a good one. People must think we're nuts. I don't know if people get nervous or whatever.
Are they like, is this going to be a good show?
Before the show. And like, we're just like, they're having fun. We don't have to fake it. I mean, that's what we do.
No, we have a great time. We were so pumped yesterday for those rankings. I'm not going to lie to you guys. There's a lot going on, obviously. But, like, I was like, I am so excited for this.
Is next week the late one with the basketball games?
Yeah, I think
so. Fucking shit. God, I remember the first year doing that, and the one went to, like, double overtime.
Yep. And it was Michigan State and Kentucky.
God damn it. That adds a wrinkle in things, too. I mean, because you wait, like, we sign on, we test our audio and our cameras and everything else, like
talk show internet. Rundown.
Yeah, show rundown, right? So normally we're on 20 minutes, but that one you wait, and we end up, I got to make sure we're betting on that basketball game, though.
Yeah,
so
we should actually, we should be collectively on the same page there, pun intended, I guess.
all right,
I haven't heard
locks.
That one before.
No, I haven't. Locks of the week. I was an absolute fucking force of nature last week. Finally. I don't remember what those picks did, but I think they were good. I was trying to find. Either way, how do you want to do this?
Let's start with Ole Miss and Georgia, because I think we're on the same side of this.
Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin.
Ole Miss plus 2.5.
So, I mean, this line is just, to me, is like the odds makers are saying, Lane Kiffin, go have your moment.
Do it.
Like,
do
this
it.
Is not Georgia. This is... Can we, like, this is not the fucking Georgia team. This ain't the one. Carson Beck ain't that dude anymore.
No.
Like, they were against Texas. I don't know what happened. But Lane Kiffin has an answer for that. Like,
that's the weird thing about Georgia. And I will say this. I might sprinkle a little national championship money on them just because they have, even when they're not that team, they kind of show up in the moments they need to be that team. Minus the SEC championship.
So Georgia loses this game and then loses at home to Tennessee.
Wow, do you think both?
I'm just saying. I don't think both. I think
okay. Hypothetical.
But I'm just saying, are they out then?
Yeah. See you later.
We'll stay on task. All right. See you later. We're on the same page.
Ole Miss,
it's nice.
I feel like
we haven't been on the same page in quite a while.
I know we are going to be against each other on one. Do you want me to go with that one?
Yes. I don't know how you know that, but go ahead.
Army minus 5.5.
Go ahead.
You're taking the upset.
I am. I actually, this is a fucked up
point. Which is weird
because
you're high on Army, so I don't know.
Well, you know what it is? I realized this. There are games throughout the season that my formula of the contrarian player, where I avoid them because I'm like, I like Army. I like their quarterback who didn't play last week, and it sounds like he's going to play this week. North Texas, though, is an offensive machine, and I think pushes teams in really weird ways. 5.5. Undefeated versus what, a 5-3? Vegas is just telling you here, Adam, here is some money in a little basket. Why don't you bend down and pick it up? And I'm going to say, okay. I'm going to pick it up. 5-3.
The way you said that was so funny.
North Texas lost two games in a row. They've given up 100 points in those two games. They've also scored 44 and 37, though. And that they are like Lane Kiffin on steroids type of football team. So, but I get it. Army is really good. If their quarterback is playing without him against Air Force last week, by the way, that offense just wasn't the same. Air Force is not a good team. It shows how important he is. I want him to be back. I actually love this Army team, and this pains me to do, but this is just business. That's all. Okay. Let me see. How about Kansas +3 versus Iowa State?
Ooh. Yeah, I don't have that one, but you could take it.
Thank you. There's emotional moments for football teams.
Yeah.
There's the emotion of coming off a big win. There's the emotion coming off a heartbreaking loss. And there's like the triggers that happen. Iowa State has been fucking around for a little while now. And they found out.
Yeah.
And now they're playing a Kansas team that has won two games, but is competitive. They won two games. But look at, I want to read these results to you.
Okay.
They lost to Kansas State 29-27. They lost to Arizona State 35-31. West Virginia 32-28. UNLV, a very good team, 23-20. Illinois 23-17. Sometimes the record does lie, and I think it does for Kansas. They're going to win this game. It's my favorite bet of the week.
Okay.
Sorry. And I'm not saying that as an Iowa guy. Also, I know that's what people will say. Fuck off.
Friend of the pod and BR betting expert. Bryson, who is a big Kansas fan, texted me over the weekend. Was like, the demise of Kansas football and Arizona football collectively in this year should be studied, which is absolutely fair.
It is fair.
I'm going to take Texas, Florida over 47.5.
That feels low.
Yeah. Well, it's because people think Texas' offense isn't as electric anymore. But I think...
And Florida's got to go at it because Lagway is even... It sounds like his hamstring, which looked really bad, is not as bad as they thought.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know who they're going with this week.
He looks like he's going to be a player, by the way. Like, they got to pay him.
They got to pay him.
Does Billy Napier keep his job? Because they're kind of feisty, and like it feels like the hot seat has cooled a little because they played a lot better. Do you think he keeps his job? I think he might
because the coaching cycle this time around might not be worth replacing him just yet.
I know it's Locksley, but it's very interesting. Like, heard about it for weeks, but now they've been okay.
Well, because also, like, the thought of, so for transparency purposes, obviously Florida would not make the college football playoff. But the transfer portal opens the day after the college football playoff is announced. And there's plenty of coaches that Florida could go get that are probably still going to be in the college football playoff conversation. So
that's a good point, actually. Yeah.
Yes, agents can be working behind the scenes and obviously talking about that stuff, but then it closes again. Then you have signing day, and then you have another opening in January, and it's still before the or I'm sorry, it closes in January before the college football national championship, and then it doesn't open again until April. So in terms of like a coaching hire, you're going to need to, it's going to be more strategic now than it was before because of that. It changes a lot of things in terms of being able to, like, because realistically speaking, say you fire him, then you're not going to be able to get a coach in time to be able to deal with the transfer portal right away, deal with early signing day, all of that stuff. Like, it's just a lot. Although I will say, the player-wise, if a coach leaves, Florida players can go and do what they want, but it doesn't apply to a guy coming in and trying to create a program, you know, and build a program at that point. So that is going to be the key. And I also think that's why there will be a huge push after this season to fix that and fix the windows, fix the early national signing day, all of that stuff, because of the expanded playoff. We didn't fix that. The NCAA didn't fix that along with the expanded playoff and the change in schedule.
Yeah.
And it's going to be an issue this year. It's going to be very chaotic this winter. But I will say that's probably what's saving him from losing his job more than anything, honestly. I know they've played better, but again, it's saving him a lot.
Can I interest you in a little Utah +4 versus BYU?
Yes, I knew you were going to go against BYU. So you think they're going to fall out of that four spot in that undefeated group?
I think they've also been playing with fire. Both these teams have kicked my ass this year, betting on them. I think my one BYU win was against Kansas State, which is beautiful. I think I've lost on them pretty much every time I've bet. They've been great against the spread. I think Utah's tough to play at. Obviously, they've gotten used to life without Cam Rising. I think he's been obviously very good for them, but also, like, it's been a little bit of a distraction. I think it's going to be an ugly game. Total is 40.5. That's a pretty low total. So late night, good Saturday football. I'm here for it. Speaking of, no late night Saturday football games this last weekend was fucking weird, man. Oh, my God.
I will say this will surprise you, but I'm going to take Iowa -6 versus UCLA. I feel like that spread is a little low. I think we can give Iowa a little bit more credit offensively.
Wow.
And defensively. Holy than shit. We are in this. I know, right? Take a moment. Take it in.
If not for Ashton Jeanty, by the way, we would be talking about their running back as, yes, like, the dude. They've been better. Like, they've had some stupid, dumb thing. The Michigan State lost terrible. Iowa State loss doesn't look as bad, although they should have won that game. No, this has been... They got to win this game, though. UCLA's actually played a little bit better. They looked like an embarrassment to start the year. They've played better. But I actually like this. I agree with this. My last one, Boston College -1.5 for Syracuse. Syracuse, I had last week. Now we're going the other way. I think BC, despite being .500, is a decent team. Home field in college football. It's what I search for every single week. Perfect spot for BC here against Syracuse.
I am going to take Alabama LSU -58.
Interesting. I did not see that coming.
I know. I honestly almost took LSU with the points. I'm not going to lie to you. But I have too much faith in Kalen DeBoer, and there's too much on the line in terms of college football playoff there. So, I will take the under because I do think it's going to be an ugly game and a low scoring game.
You know, it's such an interesting game. Both teams are just like kind of, clearly elimination game.
Yeah.
I kind of lean Bama on this. I think.
Me too.
But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to make.
What version of Bama do we get? First half versus Georgia or second half versus Georgia?
Late season Jalen Milroe last year was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It hasn't always been that way. But if you get him just taking over a game.
Yeah. LSU's defense is not very good.
No.
Like, to be fair. So, like, this is a risk going under. But I think there's things that Alabama has done to hurt itself this year in terms of offense and getting that rhythm going. So I hope it's a successful game that way, but I think the spread tells you what you need to know about the fact that despite LSU's defensive woes, their offense is still pretty good, and there's not a lot of consistency from the Alabama offense enough to be like, okay, cool, we feel safe doing this.
There you go. Random shit.
Yes, random shit. I did want to address, which has been like beaten to a pulp of a conversation over Jason Kelce smashing that kid's phone and saying what he said to him at Penn State. And this is something that you and I deal with on like such a smaller scale, but the ability for people to just say shit and behind a computer screen, because we deal with this on live shows. Like, I was telling Kramer one of the comments of one of our live shows from Sunday, and it's like, people really have the audacity to say whatever they feel like saying, and yes, there's zero consequence for it. So I'm not condoning grabbing someone's phone, smashing it, saying what he said. And he obviously, he very much, you could tell, he feels bad and he wishes that he would have just kept walking. But it is to say that, like, you know, at some point there is going to be some pushback. And people are kind of getting tired of you just being able to say what you want to say. And so do I think he really owed everyone an apology? Not really. Did I know it came from the heart? Yes, absolutely. It did not feel like a PR statement, especially the one on Monday and then the one today on their podcast. It very much felt real. So I'm sad that there's still a group of people that think it's okay to sort of say whatever, because these people have notoriety, or, you know, an NFL player. And also, like, that kid's life flashed before his eyes. I hope he really learned a lesson. I know your phone is broken and that's it, but, like, it could have been your case.
I'll say in general, whether you're interviewing, and this is a little bit different, but bear with me. When you come on, when Nick Saban comes off the field and Alabama's losing a football game in brutal fashion, they ask him a question and he's visibly pissed off. I hate how we interview coaches and sometimes even players in these moments, both joy and Kirby Smart after the Texas game, hugely emotional game, right? And he's like fucking ripping on refs because he's emotional. That times, however many times you want to multiply this, people are harassing you and your family, saying awful things. And yeah, the apology is sincere. What's kind of comforting is like, everybody's like, yeah, he was kind of a shithead. Like, you know what I mean? Like, well, there's been a universal acceptance of this, which I think is cool.
And I can tell you, and you might know this because you're an older brother, I can promise you that, and I tweeted this, like, I will not be the bigger person if someone said something like that about my brother. Like, that is the one person, I mean, aside from maybe my fiance too, but like, my brother, and it's just because you've been doing it your whole life.
Yeah.
Like, your job in life is, you feel, is to protect them. And I can tell you, I'm probably the most protective of my brother, who, by the way, is like 6'8 and could totally kick anyone's ass over me. But yeah, he's way nicer and less confrontational than I am, which is hilarious because that seems like just an exact picture of what you would expect from an older sister who's 7 years older and 5'3", and then a 8 years younger brother who is 6'8", and just the sweetest. But I know that feeling too, where you just want to be the bigger person, but you just simply cannot. So you know what, Jason Kelce, we will give you this one. We will give you some grace and let you be human and react.
I like it. I don't have much random shit. It's playoff season. It's different.
College football playoff season. It's so different. There's so much more to talk about.
I do have one random shit. My daughter. Ooh. So this is funny. Like, my first year, my daughter's done cheerleading, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is fucking uber competitive. And, like, holy shit. Like, their last competition, one of the girls on her team fell. Girl fell hard. She's fine. Everything was fine. I think they were all, like, watching it. And you could feel it. So, they have state next weekend. And I just got the schedule, with chapstick, for when they get, like, how state goes, Paige. They're 10.
Yeah.
Like, this shit is bananas. Like, this shit is like, it's like an hour and a half away. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to live in DeKalb, Illinois for 3 days.
Are there any like cheer dad shirts or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't think she really wants me to do the cheer dad shirt.
Okay.
But But I would totally, you know me.
You would. Like, if she came to you and was like, hey, I want you to wear it, but you're not going to volunteer and do it. No, that's fair.
I should absolutely. I mean, there's got to be a million cheer dad shirts.
Easily.
Oh, man. Like, these are actually bad. These shirts, they're like corny, like cheer dad shirts. Like, I will find a cheer dad shirt and I will get one. There's a cheer dad holiday ugly sweatshirt. Okay. There's the cheer father.
Is Olivia the type that she would be like embarrassed if you were like, okay.
Well, I think she would be both embarrassed and kind of proud.
Okay.
Like she'd be like, what the hell are you doing? But deep down, like, pretty good.
She's like, it's dad.
Now take it the fuck off. Yeah, that would be probably her.
Okay.
So all right, I will do a full report on the cheer dadding. But yes, that is the coming in hot dadding. Next week.
So, I love it.
Speaking of which, I got to go pick her up from basketball. So, for Paige,
multi-sport athlete.
Yeah, hell yeah, of course, right? Too early, specialist. For Paige, I'm Adam. We'll talk to you guys next week.